of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. I am your host, Garrett Miller, and tonight we have Carol Ramsey. She's going to be returning to the show. She is a psychic. She'll be taking your calls for the next hour. We are live in the 60-minute broadcast. If you'd like to get your call answered, call our hotline at 323-657-1493. You got to press 1 on the keyboard, though. Otherwise, we just think that you want to listen to the show because that's what, you know, a lot of folks do. And when you call by the phone. And that's really totally cool. And if you'd like to ask a question in the chat room, you're welcome to do that on Blog Talk Radio, or you can also ask a question on Facebook. I'm live there, and if you're friends with me, you can send me a little instant message, and that would be really, really cool. Now, before we get started, I'm going to do our commercial break a little early today. Now, it sounds silly because we just started the show, but I'm really excited to tell you that I was just on the It Matters radio program, and they do everything on video chat. So I had to, like, comb my hair and everything, except for this Halloween episode that they were doing tonight. I put on my wrestling mask and wore my wrestling belt, and, well, you know, that was it. Otherwise, it was just going to look like me sitting in front of a camera. So I was trying to play along with them, and it was so much fun. They played the music video for my song, Witch Sisters Halloween, which is super, super fun. And we're going to have Monica and Ken on the show on Tuesday, November 17th, for a review of their books, independent of each other. So I've got two authors I've got to read for the same night, and that should be fun. But just as we get started, I'm going to play we call it a little brand swapping. I'm going to play their commercial for their show right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
First of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a duff man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be?
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of The Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So that was our sponsor, Rainbow Brew. They're out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I love the folks there because not only are they a small minority-owned business, but they grow the coffee beans right there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and brew them I brew them. Well, if you're going to their coffee shop, they brew it for you. But they can send you the coffee beans whole that they grow out of the frozen tundra there, or they can grind it up and send it out to you same day. And they're a great sponsor for the program, and I love having them on. We're waiting for Carol to call into the show. So, you know, sometimes we have some technical difficulties, and I think that may be a little bit of what we've got right now. So while we wait for Carol and everybody who's on hold, I want to do this at the beginning of the show instead of the end of the show, and that's actually play my Halloween song. I don't know what you guys are planning for this Halloween, but hopefully it will be doing something fun in your local community. Here is the song that is going crazy everywhere right now. It's called Witch Sisters Halloween. You can see the music video for this on YouTube, and of course you can request this off of your favorite terrestrial radio stations and also on SiriusXM's Scream. I think it's channel 18. This is Witch Sisters Halloween.
Ooh, what do we have here?
Met three sisters on the beach alone that Friday night. Gathered near a campfire kiln, their fire burned so bright. They each got up and took their turn, looking me up and down. Can we trust him? Can we tell him they would circle round? The harvest moon above was full, but showed their scary smiles. Come sit with us, the three agreed, you'll want to stay a while.
Yeah.
Witch Sisters Halloween by yours truly. We're having some technical difficulties with Carol's phone line right now, so I thought I would just – I've got a bunch of you already pre-screened, so thank you for that. And I wanted to bring on Tony. Tony's calling from New Jersey. And, Tony, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Garrett. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, one of the things – now, Tony, you're a longtime listener, and so, number one, thank you for listening all five nights a week. I appreciate that very much. But one of the things I find really fascinating about you is that you're involved in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. How long have you been involved in making the parade happen?
Well, this is actually my ninth year. I started in 2007. The way I got into it, because a lot of people believe you have to work for Macy's to participate in the parade – I was working with somebody at the time who was in the parade, and he just said to me one year, do you want to do it? And my friend Gail and I, who we watch it religiously every year, said, yeah, let's do it. So he sponsored us in, and ever since 2007, we were what was called balloon handlers. You know, we're the ones, those big, large balloons that you see in the sky. Well,
yeah.
the people who are carrying them. So for the first 4 years, we were balloon handlers, and then on our fifth year, Macy's came and said, do you guys want to become balloon captains? And that was in 2011, and this will be my fifth year now. We're actually balloon captains. So instead of handling the balloons, we're now in charge of the balloons. And
so what is what's involved in handling a balloon, and what kind of training do you go through, Tony, to be able to be part of this? Because, you know, I think, you know, As a parade observer, you know, I've watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for, you know, years and years and years. You know, the expectation is, from my end, I just turn the TV on, and when I finally get comfortable, you know, flip to the parade, and then it magically just takes place. But is it really that easy?
Pretty much. I mean, when would you sign up? Everyone's required to go to one training session. They usually have about four, sometimes five throughout the year. We have what they call practice balloons. Those are the large balloons that have been retired, like Clifford, the big red dog. He's generally one of the ones we have that we practice on. Those balloons are very large, and they fly them up about 40 to 50 feet in the air. And each of those large balloons will have up to about 90 handlers. And
wow.
They set up a path. Yeah, these are really large balloons. And here's a little secret that not many people will see this, because they generally don't show the handlers. Underneath the balloons are two vehicles, not regular-sized cars, but they have two vehicles underneath as well to help support and hold the balloon in size, because it is so large. Because you do sometimes have a problem with wind. So to help keep them steady, we have two vehicles underneath the balloon. If they ever show the handlers, you don't really see them, because the handlers sort of hide the vehicles. And it's just a walk down 6th Avenue. They'll create a path on our test. Generally the tests have been, I'm saying tests, but really the practices are at Giant Stadium parking lot. Giant Stadium has a humongous parking lot.
I am
fascinated.
Okay, I love this little secret that nobody knows about, that that all of this goes on before the big parade. So this is, you said, your ninth year of doing this?
Yes.
Goodness gracious. So were you freaked out when you first did it? And is there anything that, you know, that happens this new year over year? Or is it pretty much the same old hat?
Oh, let me tell you, the first year, everyone gets nervous right away, especially with the practice. And then when the event comes, you're always nervous. You're always afraid. What happens if we get a good big gush of wind? What happens, you know, if we do lose the balloon? That all runs through your head. Macy's has been doing this. This will be the 89th parade, and they have been doing this for so long. It is such a well-oiled machine. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly. They have everything timed out right to where they know what balloons will pass by before NBC goes to a commercial break. And then when they come
kidding.
Back, they have
I love
they
that.
Have it all so well processed. They know when the band, because, you know, there'll be some high school bands who are fortunate enough to be chosen. They know when they're coming. It's such a well-oiled machine. It's incredible.
Again, things that you never think about, because, you know, you just take it for granted that you're watching this on the television and it magically is going to work. And, of course, you know, nothing ever happens. You know, or you think that, Mighty Dog is going to, you know, float away or something, you know, crazy like that's going to happen. Is there been any kind of, like, weird thing that's happened while you've been on the parade route?
Not well. I will say in 2013, we had a new balloon, The Adventures of Finn and Jake. And what happened was that during the parade, the second vehicle, which was in behind the balloon, conked out. But fortunately, what we had to do, because now the balloon captain, we carry radios, all we had to do is radio and say our back vehicle isn't working. And within minutes, and I mean 2 minutes, here they come with a new car. They pull that one out, they reattach this one, and we're back on the parade.
So, okay, logistically, how do you have spare vehicles just like, you know, hanging around until you get ready?
It's the magic of Macy's. What they have, we're going down 6th Avenue, and there are crowds and crowds of people. But on the streets, you know, we go past maybe, well, no one would be on 42nd Street, but say 41st Street or 40th Street or 39th Street, they have these vehicles waiting. So anytime somebody calls, they say, they radio over to the car, and they say, Adventure Time with Finn and Jake, it's on 38th Street. They need a new back vehicle. They'll push, you know, the cops will find out because there's many cops around here. They'll push the crowd aside. They'll say, we've got to get the vehicle out. The vehicle comes in. They take the place. They wheel the other vehicle out. There you go. Kind of like, if you remember, I'm going to go a little bit here. If you remember in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, when the Grinch came back and brought all the gifts into the circle of the Whoville, they just all moved and then moved back in. It's just like that.
Goodness
gracious. If you
don't
know what I'm talking about, make sure you watch it this year and you'll see.
Well, you know, and in fact, I think tonight, I think it's probably past your time in New Jersey, Tony, but they're playing the Charlie Brown Great Pumpkin thing, you know, for a full hour tonight. So, you know, that's, you know, everybody here is very excited about that.
I think it's the 49th anniversary of this special, too.
So with Halloween coming up, Tony, have you figured out what you're going to dress up as?
Well, I was thinking about doing one of the Witch Sisters, but I think... I would leave that to somebody else.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be me, that's for sure.
I am thinking of actually doing being one of the, like a Dracula or a Frankenstein, hitting the, because New York City has their annual holiday, Halloween parade down in the village. So I'm thinking this year, I haven't done a monster character in several years, but it might be time to take out the Dracula costume.
Hey, that's not a bad idea at all. I think that's a great way to spend the Halloween. Well, Tony, I'm going to say thank you very much for calling in. I mean, let me ask you this before I let you go. Do you have any favorite Halloween memory of years gone by, either as a kid or as an adult? Yeah, I think both would be fun.
Oh, boy. I think probably the one year I just remember – you know, it was Halloween was a Saturday, and actually, believe it or not, I was a Dracula that year. And a neighbor friend of mine and I went out one time. I think it was trick-or-treating, could start at 10 o'clock. And we didn't bring bags. We had pillowcases, so we knew they would never break. I didn't arrive home until – we didn't come back home until close to 7.
Holy cow.
We literally covered half the town. And without even realizing it, we got home, and our parents were, you know, this was a different time. This was the early 80s, so our parents weren't worried or, you know, we didn't have cell phones or walkie-talkies or anything. That when we got home, they said, did you have a good time? I said, yeah, here's my pillowcase full of candy. And that was it.
Do you have a favorite Halloween candy?
I love my Kit Kats.
Kit Kats rock. There we go. Well, Tony, I want to say thanks for calling in, and we're going to see if we can get Carol on the line before we come back from our next break. I'm going to play a Halloween song or two for you. We're going to start it out with Little Monster Mash. This really is a preview to what's taking place tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party. We've got a special two-hour broadcast of the Rated G Radio Top 10 Halloween songs of the year, and there are old songs and new songs and songs in between that bring back lots of spooky and scary memories. But this is Little Monster Mash by Boris Pickett. We'll be back after this.
My eyes beheld an evil. on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Wow.
From my laboratory in the castle east.
Wow.
To the master bedroom where the vampires feast.
Wow.
The ghouls all came from their humble abodes.
Wow.
To get a jolt from my electrode.
He did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sound. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hound. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?"
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. And it's a graveyard smash. It's caught on in a flash. It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax's a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it sent you. Then you can monster mash. And do my graveyard smash. Catch on in a flash. Then you can monster mash.
demons crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Funk of 40,000 years and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
I love Michael Jackson's Thriller, and we are talking to Tony G out of Hackensack, New Jersey today. Tony's called in, and he's talking to us about his involvement with the Macy's Day Parade, as well as his Gene Simmons Kiss costume from when he was a youngster. And I'm bringing Tony back on the line because his story was just that good. We're having some technical difficulties with the telephones for Carol Ramsey tonight, so if we get her on before the hour is up, we'll certainly bring her on. But in the meantime, Tony's called in to talk a little bit about the things that he's doing to help celebrate the Halloween season, and that includes preparing for the Macy's Day Parade. So, Tony, tell us
yes.
a little bit more about when do you start preparing for the Thanksgiving Day Parade? Is it like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so like the day before, or how soon, early in the season does everybody get together?
Oh, no. We actually start back in May. They'll have like close to 1,000 balloon handlers, and they need to make sure they have enough people for who's returning and then who they need to replace. Back in May is when we'll start getting our applications to renew our that we're going to be returning. And then the first practice, like I said, you have to attend one. They'll have one in June, then they'll have two in September, and then one in October. So, yeah, that's when they start. They start way, way back in May.
So what's the qualification, Tony, for somebody who wants to be part of that?
Well, first you have to be sponsored. If you don't work at Macy's, you have to be sponsored in by somebody who's with the parade. So if anyone's listening and wants to do the parade next year, reach out to me. I can sponsor you in. It's too late to do it this year because I feel it's less than a month away.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You get sponsored. You have to be over 18. And you have to weigh at least 125 pounds. That's the only thing.
So
you have to be over 125 pounds. Exactly. You need someone you need to at least weigh 125 pounds so you can help handle the balloon.
Well,
that's the only
blowing away with strong wind on Thanksgiving Day. That would make news and it'd be kind of a draw factor away from the parade. So that's probably good. That's probably good advice.
Yeah, because you don't want to be. You don't see it, but what they have is they're called bones, is what the handlers hold. They don't hold strings. They have the strings on something called the bone. It's a plastic bone. It's shaped like a bone. That's why they call it a bone with the four sides. And if it's constant wind and you can't get it, you're going to keep dropping the bone to the ground over and over again, and they don't want that.
With your ninth year, what were the first eight balloons that you were part of? Do you remember them?
Oh, like the back of my hand. The first year was just a filler balloon. It was a white Macy star. And it's one of those, they have filler balloons that don't make television. That, in between the bands and the clowns and all that. And that's what was my first year. The second year I had, which was in, that was 2007. 2008, I had Charlie the Elf. And consistently, those who watch the Macy's Parade, you have three elf balloons right before Santa Claus comes at the end of the parade. Charlie the Elf is the blue one. They have a blue one, a red one and a yellow one. And Charlie was the blue elf, and that was my balloon that year. Then in 2009, I got Pikachu. I was on the Pikachu balloon. And in 2010, I had Horton the Elephant from Dr. Seuss.
Okay. Honestly, Tony, I'm like, I don't know what the other ones were, but I know which that one is. Okay.
Pikachu is a video game. It's one of those video game characters. And Charlie the Elf, he's an elf balloon. They have three elves, like I said, three elf balloons, but literally right before Santa Claus comes. So when we were walking with Charlie, we could turn around and we could see Santa Claus.
Oh, my gosh.
He was right there. And then 2011 was my first year as captain. And that year, we had balloons, what was called Geometrics. Kind of, once again, another filler balloon. You know, first year as captain, they're not going to put me on Spider-Man. So we were on, I keep saying we, because my friend Gail and I have been doing this together for 9 years, and she's been on my side. She and I are side by side with everything. And then 2010, they had a new balloon called Rex the Happy Dragon, and it was a dragon balloon, and they named it Rex after somebody who's affiliated with the parade. So they named him Rex the Happy Dragon. And that was a new balloon. And then 2012, oh my gosh, I am blanking on 2012. Give me a second. Oh, what am I saying? 2012, that was Rex the Happy Dragon. I'm mixing my dates up. 2013 was Adventure Time with Finn and Jake, which I talked about before. And then last year, I was on the brand new Paddington balloon, Paddington Bear.
Is there competition on who's going to be on which balloon, or do you campaign for, like, I want to be on the Spider-Man balloon this year, or does that kind of stuff go on?
No, because Macy's assigns it to everybody. We never know what the balloons are going to be until we as captains, they have a special dinner for us in October, which we had ours last week. And that's when we find out what the new balloons are and which ones we've been assigned to. So we don't have – there's no campaigning. You can campaign all you want, but people on the inside are the ones assigning the balloons to you.
And do they know – you know, and I'm still just playing, you know, the devil's advocate here. But do they go, okay, well, we know Tony doesn't work for Macy's, so we're going to stick him on one of these balloons. But, you know, we got Mary over here, and Mary works for, you know, the store over on Fifth Avenue, and so we're going to put her on this float this year. Does that type of stuff, do you think, happen, or is it just still all like it's totally random?
No, I don't think that really happens. I think at this point, because I've got 9 years of experience doing it, they're going to want somebody with that much of experience on the better balloon. And like I said, Gail's with me, and I have another captain, John, who actually sponsored us in. So the three of us are – John's more of head captain. We're sub-captains. They pretty much have kept us together ever since.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, and so my balloon this year, I can tell you, will be, if those of you who are familiar with the book or saw the movie a couple of years ago, it is Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That'll be
oh
so. If
gosh.
You're watching Macy's Parade and you see the Diary of a Wimpy Kid balloon come by, you look for a guy in white overalls with a red cap. That's me.
I love that. Is so fun. I'm excited that you're going to be part of a new balloon this year. Now, for everybody that is listening, Tony is a little bit of a social media guru or expert, because you're a consultant in real life. You don't just, you know, surprisingly, you know, you're not just a balloon, you know, handler one day a year on Thanksgiving.
Right.
There are 365, you know, on a leap year, 364 days out of the rest of the year that you do other work. So what is it that you do during the regular portion of your day?
Well, the regular portion of my day, I am a marketing consultant. I like to use social media to help promote. I promote small businesses. I will promote. I used to work with a corporation. I work with some daycares. I've been working with an aftercare program this past week. I like to use social media to help promote the businesses. I mean, in this day and age, you can't succeed without being on social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, any of those.
So Tony, how is social media changed? You know, because really, social media, even though you know we use that term so easily now, like you know, oh, we're all experts at it. But when the truth is, you know, even though we think we're experts, we're really not, and that's why you're here. But you know, Facebook's been around for 8 years now. We've had, you know, emails, you know, because that's really kind of a little bit like social media, except that's kind of like the dinosaur or the old, you know, carrier pigeon at this point. But how has social media changed how you do your work for your clients over the last 5 or 6 years?
Well, this is what, you're right. A lot of people think, you know, I'm on Facebook, I have a Facebook page, so I know how to promote everything. I could take care of the business as well. You're promoting stuff on your Facebook page that really only your friends are seeing. You know, you want to get your business out there. You want to create what I call a professional page. You want to create, you want other businesses and you want to get other clientele. You know, I like to use Twitter. I like to use Facebook. Like when I take on a new client, I won't start promoting their business. I take the first few weeks to find the Twitter followers, to find the Facebook followers that you want to find. That's part of, you know, you want to – go ahead.
How do you do that? I mean, because that to me – and you don't reveal any trade secrets, of course. But, I mean, how do you do that to – you know, figure out, you know, do you sit down with the client and say, you know, what do you want your campaign to be? How long do you want to run it? You know, what kind of budget do you have to do this? You know, what if I were to come to you and say, I need help. I'm a social media mess, Tony. What do I need to do? Where does that conversation even start?
Well, the first thing I would say is, who is your target audience? Do you have a product that you want? Is it a target product for teenagers to help them get through college? Is your product something to help at home? Is your product something for this? Is your product something for that? That's where the first basic questions are going to come to. I need to know who your target audience is. And then I know a lot of people, and I've discussed this before, and you know, there's always on this Twitter, you know, you can buy, you know, spend $5, we'll send you 5,000 Twitter followers. Don't do that. Those things are, I actually know a couple of people who said, I'm going to do this instead. They would buy it. They would get, you know, the next day, oh, I've got 5,000 more Twitter followers or 10,000 more Twitter followers. Then they go through it and they realize it's just junk. You spend $5 and they're either dead accounts or accounts in another continent, accounts that just are not what your target audience is. And maybe you spent $5, but now you got to clean all that up. And maybe it looks good. People will say, oh, look at me. I've got over 10,000 followers on Twitter. Everyone must like me. But it's garbage. It's not. And I don't do that. I will take the time, and I do this. I know I take the time, and I build up. Like one of my clients, I'm not going to give, like I said, trade secrets. I started with them earlier this year, but they had like just over, they had like 34 Twitter followers. They didn't know what they're doing. As of today, they have close to 1,900 followers.
Wow. And the thing is, you know, that's a, you know, 1,900, you know, legitimate followers. I want to tell you a little real quick story here. I had an event that I was doing photography at. I was, you know, shooting the event probably back in, I'm going to say July or August. And one of the people that was there was a model who was there, you know, modeling the different clothing and stuff like that. Took a picture of the guy, and I said, you know, at some point, you know, you should be on the show, wanted to talk to him about that. And the first thing he says is, I've got 1.1 million followers on Twitter. And I went, wow, that sounds like really, you know, you must be somebody really important if you've got 1.1 million followers on Twitter. And I came home and I happened to mention that to the head of my record label. I said, you know, I met this particular individual, and the first thing he did was to go and, you know, check him out on Twitter. And he goes, well, yeah, well, anybody can have, you know, 1.1 million followers on Twitter if you, you know, pay for it. And, you know, that's what this person's done, you know, because, and went through, you know, all the reasons, kind of like what you're talking about. And so it's like, you know, it's really cool that you say that, but apparently you need validation for a lot of other things in your life, because that's really what you're doing, is you're buying non-existent followers. And, you know, that does not help translate into the new sale or, you know, new business or anything like that. So, you know, what do you think people are really getting out of that when they are, you know, purchasing it? Because, I mean, that just seems like, it seems totally stupid.
It's just, it's a publicity thing to me. It's, you know, like he said to you, look, I got 1.1 million followers on Twitter. Oh, right, that's exciting, that's great. It's kind of like people, I guess I could put it this way, it's like people who embellish on their resume. Oh, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I've got this skills. That's great. That's fabulous. We want you for the job. Then you get into the seat. You sit behind the desk. How do I do this? I thought you said you can do it. Well, yeah. Well, I kind of can.
Yeah. When I thought, you know, the other thing that I didn't take into consideration until after it was pointed out to me is, like, you know, when I was asking the you know, I was saying, you know, I met this individual, I think he'd be a good guest for the show. You know, he gets 1.1 million followers, and, you know, he seems to be, you know, like a big, you know, the next big thing. And, you know, when my, you know, label came back and says, you know, don't think he's that big. And one of the things that they said was, you know, I said, well, how do you, you know, how can you say that? He's got 1.1 million. They go, he has virtually no retweets. He has virtually no favorites. Nobody else is talking about him. So he can, you know, tell you all of that. But, you know, when you take a look at the engagement with the tweets that, you know, he's putting out there, there's virtually none. So, you know, the only person he's really selling is selling himself. I just thought
exactly.
That
and that's,
but,
that is interesting. That's how something too, is a philosophy I have, which I wasn't going to get mentioned, but I'll just mention real quick. One of the things too, to help get your, build your followers, you promote someone else, they'll promote you back.
Right.
You help somebody, they'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
So
then
can you tell me
just sit there and be, no,
can you tell me about maybe like one of the more interesting, and it can be weird interesting, you know, especially since this is, you were getting so close to Halloween. Can you give us maybe an example of a weird thing that happened with one of your clients from a social media standpoint? But it could be like a good outcome, but just something that really caught you off guard.
Well, this happened to me actually earlier this spring. I was on Twitter. Actually, I got a request from somebody on Twitter who I wasn't following. He's a writer. I'm not going to mention his name, but he is a writer. He had a new book coming out. He said, look, I've got a new book coming out. It comes out, you know, it's going to come out in 3 weeks. I really want to do whatever I can. So I went into overdrive. I helped promote his book. I helped get people to come to his launch party. It was successful. You know, it was a great experience for him. The very next day after the book came out, he said to me, I think I'm going to take it from here for mom. But I don't need your service anymore.
Kind of like the artist who, you know, has that first hit album, and it's like, well, I clearly don't need help because, you know, I did it all myself, and I got to number one. And, you know, you just roll your eyes and you're like, oh, okay, go ahead. And then, you know, okay, so what happened?
Well, I guess from that on, he was going to take it on his own. Now, this was, like I said, a couple of months later, I happened to go to a book convention, and he was there. And there's some really big-time authors and some comic book authors. There's some really big names at this event, and it's a pretty crowded event. And a lot of people got selling their books. They've got posters. They've got all this stuff. I approach him at his table. He's got his black curtain that everyone gives him. He's sitting there with a couple of books. He had no one approach him. So, there was no buzz. There was nothing. He wasn't getting anything. Meanwhile, a couple of other people I helped promote to the show were getting the hits. They were getting the people. They had seen my tweets. They had seen stuff. So they were appreciative. But he was sitting. He sat at his table, and I was nice to him. I approached him. I shook his hand. I gave him a great conversation. Didn't say anything about, well, I don't see anyone around your table. Kept that quiet, but
right,
I didn't notice it.
Well, yeah, I think it's hard because, you know, especially, and I'll just, you know, talk from my perspective. I'm so used to doing everything myself that anytime I get help with any type of a project, I always think it's really, really cool. But the second that project is done, it's like, okay, I can handle it all myself again. But, you know, behind the scenes, you know, you really do. Unless you're actually, you know, sitting there with you, Tony, or a, you know, social media expert like yourself, you know, you don't see all the behind the scenes stuff that goes on to make the event or the whatever a success. And I think that's really hard for people when they don't have a good understanding of the time and effort it takes to make something like that come off without a hitch. And that's what you do so expertly.
And it's hard, too, because, you know, I spent years in publishing, and I would do many, I was involved in, you know, getting subscriptions, getting new subscriptions and getting people to renew their subscriptions. And back in the day, you would mail out promotions or you would fax out promotions. In the last 10 years, you would actually do email blasts out to promotions. And you would always have a special promo key on there so you knew if people responded, oh, they responded from the email blast, or, oh, this came in through the direct mail package I received. Oh, this came in from the insert card that comes out of the magazine that everybody hates, but everyone uses because it's the easiest way to subscribe to a magazine. With social media, it's hard to do that. It's hard to, because you're promoting and you're promoting. Unless you do something special, like, you know, let everybody know that you saw this on Twitter or something, you know, we'll give you $10 off. Or it's really hard for people to see the results. So it's always, you know, well, I don't see anything coming. I just, as I'm saying this, I thought about this. I'd worked with this daycare center, and I was telling them how you're not using social media. So they said, okay, you know, give it a try. 2 weeks later, he calls me up and says, where are the people? They're not coming. And I said, well, it's only been 2 weeks. You have to give it time. You know, he was expecting after a week that there were going to be 50 people lined up with kids ready to sign up. You know, it takes time. Not a lot of time, but it takes time.
You raise a great question. So is there a different amount of time that it takes for different types of strategies, you know, whether it's a book or an album or a music video or a fundraising campaign or childcare? Is there anything that's typical that's the same, but what would be different?
Really comes to the timing, and it really does come it's really just the timing. It really depends. You know, you want to promote the business, like the daycare. You need to promote the business. You know, people maybe who are having a new child about to put in daycare is one thing, but you want to convince other people who live in your town to say, take your child out of this daycare and bring him to ours instead. That will take a little more convincing to do. You know, why? Because now you got to promote why our daycare is better than your daycare. You know, so you're trying to convert that. Versus somebody new coming in.
So, from your experience, what have you found has been successful in doing a conversion like that? You know, is it just the repetitive message that people are getting, or is there a spin on the message that you know, you can share, you know, with folks, you know, because we're not telling people how to do this. We're just saying, you know, this is what you do. But are there different ways that you attack that? So you say, in week one, we're going to talk about this. Week two, we're going to talk about that. Or is it like the same consistent message over and over and over?
No, the same consistent message gets repetitious. And then at the same time, you know, when you keep seeing the ad over and over again on the computer, you just ignore it. That would happen the same thing. You need to change it up. You need to promote it. Like if I were working for that daycare center right now, I've just been spending the last couple of weeks, maybe the last 2 weeks, this is what we're doing for Halloween. These are the specials that we have. This is what we can, you know, this is what we're going to give to the kids. This is what we're going to show to the kids. This is, you know, always mention, there are certain points, always mention the curriculum so they know what the curriculum is. Always mention, you know, some people are, unfortunately, are by price, so always mention what the price is. Some people, yeah, it really it depends on the area. You know, I don't want to break down too much about that. I was thinking about the different areas of the country, or say even in different areas of the state versus, you know, inner city versus country. You know.
There's a great thing to bring up here, Tony, because, you know, you help people in different industries with different products and different services all around the country. And what mm-hmm. – how do you factor in regionally how you're going to interact with folks who, you know, because I'm in California, and you know, if I was going to do something locally out here, it'd probably be, you know, maybe a little bit different than what you do for somebody back in Hackensack.
Well, that involves the research. That's where it comes back to the same question. What is your target? Are you looking, you know, if someone's doing a fundraising campaign, and they're located in Los Angeles, California. They don't want to just get people in L.A. They want people all 50 states versus a daycare center, which they only want people not even in that county. They would want, like, the five cities around it. It really comes just to doing the research on that and then finding those people. Like, when I worked for the daycare, what I was doing was just really just researching who is in the area, who are these people, you know, who is in the area, who are these people, what can we offer them to bring them to the center? you know, a fundraising campaign would say, okay, this is going to go to all 50 states. Even actually, even not even 50 states. It can even go to England. It can go, you know, across the land. What do they have to offer? What are the incentives? And you go from there.
Right.
You start from there.
Tony, we're going to, I would say, running out of time, but I want to play a couple more Halloween songs off of our top 10 list that we're going to hear tomorrow on the official Top 10 Halloween Songs of 2015 on Rated G Radio. It's a two-hour broadcast. You can hear it all day long, well, really all weekend long, but the show is going to air early tomorrow morning, so check your local listings, and you'll be able to click and play 2 hours. And I'm putting the show on early simply because if you're having maybe an office party or you got something going on at school or you're doing something in the afternoon or early evening and you want to have a great block of Halloween music, I've got it all set up for you. And it's just, again, click and play. You can also download the show on Apple iTunes as a podcast for Rated G Radio, and that is always fun to do. So make sure to do that. So, Tony, before I let you go, we've talked about all this stuff, but the one thing that I've totally missed, and this is completely my fault, how do people connect with you, and what's a great way to find you on social media and talk to you more about services that they can work with you on?
Well, you can reach me one of three ways. You can reach me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Kira's Dad, KIRASDAD, Kira's Dad. You can reach me on Twitter at Tony Guad, TONYGUAD. And I'm going to give my email because I'm currently my website is under construction. I'm revamping the website from what I used to have, so my website is down at the moment. But you can email me, TonyGuad71@gmail.com. That's TONYGUAD71@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, I think if you are in the market for some social media help, if you've got a new project coming up, you're looking to do maybe a social media global funding type of an event, or maybe you're an author who just needs to, you know, to get the good word out about your upcoming book tour or things that you're going to be doing, Tony is a great person to contact. So we'll have all this information on the replay. It'll be on the Rated G Radio show page here for the show tonight. We'll get that updated. And Tony, I'm going to say I wish you a very, very happy Halloween. We're going to play this one certainly doesn't go out to you, but I'm going to say, because it's actually one of my favorite songs, I'm going to play this for you. It's called Season of the Witch by Donovan. I'm going to have one other sneaker we're going to put on to wrap up the show as well, time permitting. And I wish you all a very happy Halloween, but stay tuned tomorrow. It's the two-hour broadcast of the Halloween show right here on Rated G Radio. Thank you.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. That it's strange.
Pick up every
Okay, I forgot to do this earlier in the night, and I promised several people I would bring this up. So I've gone to famousbirthdays.com, and there is somebody out there tonight who's listening, Miss Kate Jackson from Charlie's Angels fame. Kate Jackson turns 67 today. We want to say thank you, Kate, for listening to the show. Hope you are having a fantastic birthday tonight. Now go out and do something fun. Other celebrities having birthdays today include Gabrielle Union, who's turning 43. We've got Dan Castellaneta. He turns 58. You'll know him from The Simpsons. Fleur East, she's a pop singer, is 28. Jacqueline Joss is 23. She's a soap opera actress. Winona Ryder is 44. We've got Derek Thieler is 29. He's a TV actor. Espinosa Paz is 34. He's a world music singer. We've also got Eric Sade. He's 25, pop singer. I have not heard of him, though. Cleopatra Coleman is 28, actress. Richard Dreyfuss is 68. We've got Finola Hughes, 56. If you saw her face, you'd know her. And then finally, we have got the amazing Randy Jackson at 54 and Melba Moore at 70. So happy birthday to all of you fine folks. And thank you for being part of Rated G Radio. Thanks again to Tony Guad for being my VIP special guest star tonight. I appreciate him calling in. And you have a great evening. Don't drive distracted.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.